Well, it's fun to look out and to see a bunch of you wearing superhero t-shirts or little things. I don't know if you can tell, but I have a faint Batman thing going on here. And for us, that was just a fun way to come and to acknowledge our moms, our grandmas, and the women of our community that means so much to us, because we know being a mom is not easy, but they are our superheroes. They do so much for us as they love us and care for us, as they teach us and serve us and lead us in so many different ways. And so I want to say a very happy Mother's Day to all the moms, all the grandmas. Today, a couple of my superheroes are here as usual, which is really exciting. My mom is here, and it's kind of obvious how great of a mom she is, because look how great I turned out. But that's nice. My mom is amazing and really is one of my superheroes of life, people that I look up to. And my wife, I'm looking for maybe up with our son at the moment. But this is our first Mother's Day since Joe has been born, so it's a little extra special. The woman, my wife, that I called my wife and call my wife, and had so much respect and love for her, it goes to a new level when you watch her as a mom. Just the strength and just that other mode that moms can go into. And so we want to say thank you to all of our moms and grandmas that do so much for us. Certainly I want to acknowledge those women in my life. And we also know that for some people, Mother's Day isn't a real easy day or a fun day. It can be a difficult day for a whole number of reasons. And so I hope that today, if you're in that boat and this isn't a day for you that is automatically a lot of fun, maybe it's a real struggle. One of the privileges that I hope you'll understand about being part of the body of Christ, being part of a church community, is that we really become family to one another, that we break the boundaries of just biological family, and we come together as brothers and sisters, and we find people that are ahead of us and behind us. And so I hope today, if it's a struggle for you, if your mom is not around, or you're not able to be with her, or maybe she's passed on, or you're a mom and you can't be with your kids, or for whatever reason this is just a bit of a struggle today, we hope that you will find here an opportunity to be part of a wider family and to have those opportunities you might not have in a biological family, and to find comfort and joy being part of this family as well. So once again, a huge appreciation to all of the women of our community, and we hope that here you will find an extended family to be part of wherever you fit in. I said this is our first Mother's Day since our son Joe has been born. And so I think at these times, there's the tendency a little bit to think through the last year and how things have gone, and to think about milestones. And we're having such a fun time with him, and there's so many really neat milestones. And so we've been thinking a lot about that. And today, I'm sure we'll reminisce a little bit about how the last 10 months with him has gone, and the things that we've seen and the ways that he's grown in incredible ways just in a short amount of time. And one of the milestones that we're actually looking forward to, we know it's going to come up pretty quick in the next couple of months, is that he's going to start walking. We know this because he's already standing. Usually he'll have kind of one hand on something or both hands on something, and he sort of walks around stuff and guides himself. But he's starting now, just for a couple of seconds once in a while, to stand free of anything, take his hands off, just a couple of seconds, and you can tell he gets a little bit nervous and maybe plops down. But I know that once he started to do that, it's only a matter of time. It's not going to be that much longer before he figures it out and he takes his first step. And I'm so excited about this, because I don't think he knows yet, but when he learns to take that first step, a whole new world's going to open up to him. That first step really isn't about just that one step. When he takes the first step, so many other steps are going to follow, and what he'll be able to do and the way he's going to be able to explore his world and our world is going to completely change. It's going to be completely different, and I just can't wait for how exciting that is going to be, and how much more we're going to have to chase and run after him. And I know what it's like for him, just watching him, to be on the cusp of a milestone like that, and knowing that he's going to move into this other stage where life is going to open up and be completely different. It was the same thing when he was first learning to crawl. When he was first learning to crawl, he would kind of get down in the stance, kind of on all fours there, you know, ready to crawl, but he hadn't figured out exactly how to move, you know, this arm and this leg and then this one and this one. And so he would just get on all fours, and knowing he wanted to move but not knowing how to move, he would just start rocking back and forth. And I could tell he was revving the engine, but he was in neutral, you know? He was ready to go, but he just didn't know how to put it in gear. And I remember back then thinking, as soon as he puts this in gear, he's going to be gone, and our lives are never going to be the same because we're going to be chasing after him. And that's exactly what happened. And now we're getting to that next milestone where he's standing just a little bit on his own. And I know when he learns to take that first step, another one's going to follow, and his whole world is going to change again when he gets out of neutral and just goes. There's something so powerful about just taking one step. Today, that's what I want to talk about, because in our lives of faith, it's very similar. That oftentimes one step isn't just one step, but it leads to a life-changing experience. That it opens up a whole other world to us when we take that step and we enter into another sphere. Today, I want to invite you, wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus, whether you even have a relationship with Jesus yet, to consider taking just one step wherever you are. We're all at different spots. We're all in different places in our lives and in our spirituality. But today, I want you to consider maybe just taking one step, because I think that there's a bunch of us, again, on a wide spectrum in terms of our spiritual lives and our relationship with how we relate to God. But some of us today, this morning, I believe, are probably revving our engine. And we want to move forward. We would love to see progress in a number of areas in our lives, but we're just not sure how to go. And what I believe is, when we learn to take just one step, it has the power to open up a whole nother sphere of life for us. And that can be scary and intimidating and different. And you think things are going to change and things won't be the same. And I think it's amazing and beautiful. And I think it's what Jesus invites us into, and what today I will invite you into today is to just go from neutral and click it into gear and take one step forward. If you want to follow along in our passage today, we are going to be in the book of Luke. And we have been looking at a number of decisions that were made by followers of Jesus and how they got to the place where they're willing to say, I'm in with Jesus. That's why we call this series that, to make a commitment to him. We see all stages of that, and hopefully you've been following with us for the last 3 weeks, and today we kind of close up this series by talking about whether or not we're willing to take a step towards not just saying, but actually living out that reality that I'm in. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and this is where Jesus calls some of his first disciples, and we'll see in this little story is a story about specifically Simon Peter, and also some of his buddies that Jesus comes and calls and invites to move along with him. So this is Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. This is important. We're going to come back to that. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. This just kind of intro, a couple of lines here, talks about the setting of this whole story. And the setting is really kind of interesting and important, because he's going to offer an incredible opportunity to Simon Peter to do something with an incredible meaning. And Jesus does it by entering into Simon's world. The setting brings together God's word and their everyday lives. Think about this for a second. We actually read right before this that Jesus taught in a number of places. He would go around and he would teach the word of God. And he would teach in the places where we might expect Jesus to teach. He'd show up in the temple or in the courts or the outer areas. He would teach people. In the synagogues, the places of worship, where the Jewish people were, he would go. And you would say, this makes sense. He would go into the religious centers, people who are doing religious things and worshiping and learning from the Bible, from the Word of God. And that's where we would expect Jesus to show up and teach the Word of God. He does some of that. But all of a sudden, we see here in Luke 5 that Jesus shows up where the boats are, on the water, where the fishermen are washing their nets. He shows up in everyday life. And even the setting brings together God's word and their everyday lives. It says that crowds were flocking. People were showing up. Why? What did they want to hear? They wanted to hear God's word, how Jesus was going to teach us, what he was going to tell them about what God had for them, the message that he has for them. But here he stands where people are working, where people are doing business. everyday ordinary people in an everyday ordinary spot. That's where Jesus shows up. And I love that in this story, we see that people come flocking to hear the word of God, but the setting brings together God's words and their everyday life just in a normal spot. You don't have to go someplace special. You don't have to go to the special building where you wear something special and everybody's, you know, kind of shifted modes. This is very practical. Every day where you live and eat and relax. And I actually think this morning that as we work through this passage together and you hear this message as we learn together, that it might be more advantageous for us to stop and think about this message being taught to us in a different setting. That maybe you would picture yourself this morning hearing these words and this message in the place that you work or in your home or when you're relaxing with friends, wherever you have downtime. At school, whatever it is for you, that normal place of everyday life that Jesus comes. You say, man, it would be cool to hear God's word. I guess I have to go to church. I guess I have to do something religious. But here we see that even the setting brings together God's words with our everyday lives. And maybe this morning as you hear this, you would just picture yourself receiving this message in the setting that is natural to you. Your normal everyday setting that you would accept God's word into your life. Next verse 3 says, stepping out into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. This is actually kind of a bold request from Jesus, if you think about it. He just shows up and Simon Peter, we're going to learn in a second, he's been out fishing all night. He's been washing his nets, which means he's already finished fishing, and then he's doing what you do after you finish fishing, and he's probably tired. It's probably maybe just at least a mild inconvenience for Simon to say, yeah, I'll do this. I mean, Jesus, this isn't his boat. He didn't prearrange this. He just shows up and says, hey, I want to get in your boat, and you just set out a little bit. You know what you're doing. Just set out a little bit so I can sit there and teach. And what struck me about this is that the method brings together God's word and their everyday lives. That not just the setting, but now the method. Jesus doesn't just show up to the place, but now he comes to Simon, and specifically to Simon, and he gets right in his boat. He gets right into where he does his work, where he's comfortable. And he gets right in the boat and he says, now I want you to do what you do every single day. You're a master at this. Just set out a little bit and let me teach from here. Jesus inserts himself, again, not just into some religious institution, not some place where he has to show up and go do something religious, but every day, Simon goes out in his boat. This is what he does. Jesus shows up to that place, and then with the method, he says, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to insert myself into your everyday life. I'm going to teach God's word right where you live. We're going to do it just like you do everything else every day, set out in the boat. Verse 4 says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, this is Jesus after he had finished teaching, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Now Jesus takes it a step further. First, he just showed up. Then he asked Simon Peter just to accommodate him a little bit. Take me out in your boat. Now he's asking him to stretch further, and he says, let's go fishing. And when we read the interaction here, the dialogue that we read, Simon's, he's kind of polite, but you also sense a little bit of attitude. Remember, they've been out all night long. We didn't catch a thing. And then we came to shore. We took all of our big, heavy nets out of the boat, and we cleaned off all the nets. That's what we have to do after a long night of fishing. And we're tired. And we didn't catch anything. We're discouraged. And now we're going to go back out. And so he says, Master, again, this is polite, but not over the top. Master, we've been doing this all night, and you get a little hint of this. By the way, Jesus, we're professionals. We know how to fish. We know this area really well. We do this every single day. This is how we make a living. We know where the fish are. Also, we know that during the day is not the good time to fish because fish are out trying to feed at nighttime and then hide under rocks during the day. And so if we didn't catch anything all night, now you're going to ask us to go out. Listen, you're the rabbi and you know about the Bible and people are here to listen about God's word. So teach them about that. But don't tell me how to fish. Now, Simon doesn't say that, but we're reading between the lines, maybe what he's thinking, taking a guess at what's going through his mind. I know how to fish, and I still couldn't catch anything. Now we're going to go out at a worse time of the day, and you think you know better than me how to fish. I thought you were here just to teach God's word. But again, he's polite, maybe just slightly sarcastic, but polite about it. And then whatever he's thinking, he comes to the decision, all right, but if you say so. Now, maybe in the background of this, we've just read a chapter before this that Jesus had come and healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She had a fever, maybe something that could have actually killed her in that day. They wouldn't have had a lot of repercussions, things to do. And so maybe he's thinking, okay, this is a little bit crazy. It's a little ridiculous, but I did see him heal my mother-in-law. I guess I owe him one. Let's go fishing. Verse 6. It says, and this time, and they went out, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. They start waving somebody over because they can't contain the amount of fish that they've caught. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. In some translations, a little bit more specific, what's in the Greek, it says in verse 6 at the beginning there, it says, after they had done this. And I think that's really important because it's not after they had just heard this or considered this. They go out and they actually did what they were invited to do. They actually put their nets down. Okay, Jesus, we're actually going to do it. And once they had done it, all of a sudden, this huge, miraculous catch of fish. And this is where we get the climax of this story. We had Jesus show up and crowds are around. Some of them are probably with him. Some of them are getting ready to make a decision about Jesus. And now he narrows down to just Simon. He says, let's go out. Now let's go out further and let's go fishing. And all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of wondering what happens if you read this for the first time and you got to think Simon's, I'm kind of humoring him. I know we're not going to catch fish. We didn't catch any fish. And all of a sudden, he's catching so many fish. He's got to be blown away. He's waving people in to help him with these fish. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, when he gets to the climax of this story and understands what Jesus had done, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. Simon gets to a point where he has an aha moment about who he is and about who Jesus is. This is the first time that he calls Jesus Lord. Remember a couple of verses ago, he called him Master. That was polite for a rabbi, for somebody who's come teaching. But now Peter's gone to another level. He's seen this thing. He says, get away from me, because all of a sudden he's realized, I am unworthy and you are Lord. Go all the way back to the beginning of this series when Pastor Brock was speaking to us. This is Peter understanding his brokenness. Peter understanding that even if he thought he was the fisherman and he was in control, and yes, maybe he could teach me about the word of God, but I know how to fish. He is now broken. I'm unworthy. I understand. I'm completely out of my league. And then he understands in his brokenness who Jesus is. And he calls him Lord. You are the one that should be in charge. I should be following you, listening to you, doing what you ask me to do. I caught nothing last night, and now our boat is overflowing. Verse 9, for he was awestruck by the number of the fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. The invitation brings together God's word and their everyday lives. I love how Jesus does this. You know, we started with the setting, and then we moved to the method, Jesus inserting himself right into his practical everyday. And then Jesus makes the invitation. And he takes what Simon knows so well and does so well. He says, you are a fisherman. And what happens when you catch fish? Soon after you catch fish, they die. But now, Simon, you are going to become a fisher of men. And when you catch men, they will come to life. Simon, I am now inviting you to change your entire life. I'm inviting you to be part of something different. I'm inviting you to touch people's lives, to transform people's lives alongside with me, and there to give them life. I am inviting you to be a fisher of people, to make a powerful difference in their life. And when we came and said, All these people are here to hear God's word in their setting, in a way that they understand, and an invitation that brings together what God's message is for them and their everyday practical lives. I love how Jesus walks into Simon's world and calls him to something even better. And it's what Jesus wants to do for all of us. For us to picture whatever setting is natural for us and wherever we are, and to see him coming and meeting us where we are, inserting himself, walking alongside of us, and then calling us to something even better. Later, Peter will make a famous confession that when people are trying to figure out who Jesus really is, Jesus will ask his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus, Simon Peter will famously say to Jesus that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he says that, this is a few steps into Simon Peter's future in following Jesus. But when he says that, Jesus looks at him and he says, "You are Peter," which means rock. "And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." He looks at this fisherman who at this time was just out cleaning his nets, but was willing to take a step. And eventually he'll look at him and say, "History of the world will change, and you are going to be a huge part of it. And no forces on heaven or earth or anywhere could come against what I'm going to do through you." Because Peter was willing to take a step to follow Jesus, to trust that he had something amazing for him. Following Jesus starts with a step. Sometimes it's intimidating, I think. We may feel like we're stuck in life. We may feel like religion's not for us. We may feel like there's just, you know, I don't know if I can get over this hurdle. I don't know if I can stop this behavior. I don't know if I can grow into this kind of person. And sometimes we try and look so far down the line and we're just not sure if we could ever do it. And it's intimidating and it's scary. And sometimes we're discouraged by it. This morning I want to tell you it all starts with a step. Peter started on the shores in his boat. Jesus just shows up and says, "Will you put it out a little bit?" He says, "Every day, will you just put it out a little bit? Mild inconvenience. You want to go fishing? Put your nets down. And then you want to come follow me?" I think in this story, we can see a spectrum of where all of us could find ourselves somewhere in terms of where we're at in our spiritual life. And I want to point some of those out as I, again, encourage you to think about what step Jesus might be calling you to today. Jesus invites Peter to take three different steps as far as I could see. One of them is this: float. "Peter, Simon, would you just put your boat out a little bit? You do this every day." This is an opportunity to be informed. Remember, people showed up to hear the word of God. Jesus is going to teach. "Peter, Simon, all I want you to do, just put the boat out a little bit and just float here. Just listen. Just think about what I have to say." If you're here today, or even if you're listening online, this is actually a step that you've already taken. For whatever reason, you were willing to show up and just hear a little bit about Jesus, to hear a little bit about what God wants for your life. A step for you might be simply to show up again, might simply to keep on coming and to asking questions, to getting answers, not just here on a Sunday morning, but from other people who follow Jesus. Your step might be just to find out more. "Let's just float here, because I need more information. I need to know what Jesus is calling me to. I need to know what he's all about. I need to know what he teaches. I need to know where he's going." If that's you, I would encourage you just to stick around a little while. Just keep listening more. Start asking some questions. Maybe join a life group. Find a little bit more about this Jesus that calls us to follow him. Second, to fish. "All right, Simon, now let's go fishing." This is where it gets a little bit tougher. This is an opportunity to be reformed. "Okay, Simon, you do this every single day, and I know that you know what you're doing when it comes to fishing, but we're going to go fishing just like you do always, but we're going to do a little bit different. I want you to trust me. We're going to do it my way. Will you trust me to go?" And some of us, our decision today might be, "Okay, I'm going to go fishing. There's some things in my life that just need to change. There's some things that I need to alter. Maybe I'm going to give Jesus enough credit to take this step, to say, 'Jesus, this is my life and this is what I've been doing, but I'm going to take one step to do it your way. There's these things in my life, just I know that they're not quite right, and I'm going to take a step to let you reform my behavior.'" to change how I do what I do, to change how I parent, to change how I do work with my money, to change how I work with my kids, how I parent, to change the way that I look at the relationship that I'm in, change the way that I treat those people that haven't treated me well. It's an opportunity to be reformed, just to have Jesus change our direction, maybe do the same kinds of things that we do every single day, but in a different way. Would you be willing to take a step? And you might be sitting here saying, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I know how to parent. I know how to arrange my finances. I know my career path. I know that. Would you be willing to stop and say, maybe I need to do things different? Willing to reform my behavior and change. And then finally, Jesus asked them to follow. And this is an opportunity to be transformed. This isn't just tinkering with behavior. This isn't just, oh, I should be kind of a more kind person, or I should change, modify my behavior a little bit. This is an opportunity to transform our entire purpose, to give our entire selves to God. This is where we see the fishermen, James and John and Simon. It says they left everything. All of a sudden, they realized what Jesus was talking about. They saw this great haul of fish, and they must have thought to themselves, if he could do this with fish, what do you think he could do with people? If he's this powerful, if he's this amazing, if he can do this kind of thing, and he's calling us to follow, what would he have in store for us? And it says they left everything. They got some information. They took a step. They were willing to be reformed a little bit. They took a step. And then Jesus goes for it all, and he says, now come follow me. And it says they left their nets, which means they left their vocation. They left their career. They left how they made money for their families, and they followed Jesus. Transformed their entire life. It was a change of their entire perspective on what they were all about, their mission in life, their purpose. And here's how I believe we know when we're allowing God to transform our lives. It changes our mindset. And instead of asking Jesus to give us what we want, we start asking him how we can give him what he wants in our lives. Not just, Jesus, give me more fish, give me more fish. Jesus, come bless my vocation. All of a sudden, Jesus says, I could do that, but there's something greater that I want to do. I want to call you to a new vocation, to a new purpose, to a new mission. Would you be willing to leave this and take a step out in faith and to do something completely different? To stop fishing for fish and to start fishing for people? Start asking how you could make a difference in this world? Stop asking how you could just make more money for yourself, how we could do good business? And start asking how you could channel whatever you do for the betterment of this world as you show God's love to the world around you. And that's when we see transformation. We go all the way and say, okay, this is me giving myself to you, taking that step. It's what discipleship is all about. It's why these guys become disciples. They follow. They actually leave and follow. And I think discipleship means recognizing our brokenness and a need for a powerful relationship with Jesus that's based on trust. If I had to kind of narrow down what we've been talking about this whole series, starting from the beginning, that's what we're talking about. This is discipleship. Recognizing our brokenness. It's that moment that Simon had. I'm not worthy. And then realizing you're Lord, so I'll trust you. Let's go. Putting down your nets. Walking somewhere new. Doing something different. Following Jesus starts with a step. Today, this morning, I want you to think about what step it might be that Jesus is calling you to make. Again, maybe it's that first early one of just showing up and becoming better informed. Maybe it's time that there are things in your life that need to be reformed. It's time to change some behaviors, some patterns in your life that you just acknowledge aren't working. And you say, Jesus, I'm gonna follow you. And maybe tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing I do every Monday. I'm going to go to the same job, and I'm going to go work with the same people, and I'm going to be with my same kids. But I'm going to do it differently. And maybe for some of us, it's time that we take that step and ask God to transform our entire lives. Say, Jesus, it's time for me to leave my nets, to accept your purpose, your call to a different kind of kingdom, not a kingdom that exalts me, but one that exalts you, that I let you run the show because you're Lord. I believe this, that faith isn't just the first step, it's always the next step. And I think that there's a danger for some of us who have been Christians for a while. And I want to talk to you for a second, if that's you. For some of us, we've been Christians for so long, maybe since you were a little kid, maybe some of you for decades and decades and decades. And when you hear about this kind of call, you can think of a time in your life where God called you out of something comfortable to something that was even better, but that was difficult or tough. Or when he called you to a time to really change your life and your patterns. There's a time where maybe that was so intimidating to you, but you were willing to take a step and you have a great story about it. But it's years and years in the past. And since then, you've got back into neutral. And you got to a certain point in your faith, and you can look back and say, God did some awesome stuff, but if you asked, what has God done in your life in the last year? What steps have you taken in the last couple of months? Where is God calling you out today to take another step? You'd be hard-pressed to find a spot where you're willing to do it. Faith isn't just the first step. It's not just what we throw out to people and say, come follow Jesus. It's always the next step as well. God's always calling you deeper, closer to something even better, something even greater, to experience him in more deep and profound ways as you trust him. Are you willing to take a step today? Will you take one more step? I think this, as we close this morning, I think there's a bunch of you out there. You know what the step is. It's already come to your mind. Maybe you've already been thinking about it. Maybe it's just been a nudge in the back of your mind. Maybe it's been something that wasn't even conscious, but now that we're talking about this, you're feeling like, that's been coming at me for a while. And you felt God tug on you. Because you know what I love about this story? We go all the way back to the first verse we read. It says people showed up, and they were there to hear the word of God from Jesus. And then we read the whole story, and we never find out what Jesus taught. Luke never tells us that day what the sermon was about specifically. We could guess, we could think about the other things that Jesus taught, and we could look around and say, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. But in this story, that's not the point. The point of this story is an invitation to commitment. Because I think you know what the message is already. It might be different for every single one of us, but I think today, for many of us, we hear this story and we go, what's the word of God? You already know what it is. You know what the invitation is. You know what the step is. The question today is, are you willing to take it? Will you do what the fishermen did? When it says that when they had done it, they put their nets down. Or when they saw that great catch of fish, they dropped their nets and followed Jesus. That's the question, because I think you already know what the message is. You know the step that Jesus is calling you to. You know the area of your life that you need to let him in. Not just in the walls of the church, but in the walls of your heart. It's left open for us to think about where God, where Jesus is calling us to follow. Taking a step can open up a whole new world for you, a world that you couldn't imagine before you took that step. I don't know what the message was that day. I don't know what the sermon was. But I know the challenge. It's about commitment. Today, will you do it? Will you take just one step as God nudges you forward? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who invites us, who calls us, who moves us. God, I pray that today you would give us an imagination to think about what it would look like if we took real practical steps to follow you, what it could look like if we were willing to step out of what's comfortable to follow you. God, today I pray that you would bring to mind, even as we sing this last song, those steps that you're calling each one of us to take so that it would be unmistakable. And then, God, I pray that you would give us the power by your Holy Spirit to make that step, to show up again, to read more about who Jesus is, to be willing to change our lives and change our behavior. And God, ultimately to maybe even take the step placing our ultimate trust and giving our lives to you and saying, we'll follow you, we'll allow you to change even our mission and purpose in life. And God, there may we find something that is so amazing and powerful, a way of life that you've planned for us, called us to, and empowered, that we would find your peace and your joy and your love, not only for ourselves, but for the world around us.